Bible and open to Romans in chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 is where we'll start at today, but I'd like to talk to you about a gift that God gives to us. We find many different gifts in the scriptures that God gives to us. Think of the gift of love, a gift of mercy, and a gift of forgiveness. Isn't that so wonderful? And that God gives us a gift of forgiveness. But what I'd like to talk to you today about just for the next few moments is the gift of grace that God has given to each and every one of us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, a familiar passage of scripture, maybe you know it. The scripture says this, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Here we find that grace is something that is given to us. Here the Lord says there in that passage of scripture that it's not of works, because he knows as well as you and I do that if it's something, if I could get to heaven on my own, I would be pretty proud of myself. I would boast about it. I would write books about it. If you want to get to heaven, this is how you need to do it. But the scripture says that's not what it is, but rather it is a gift. So this gift that God's given to us, so then my question and really our topic today as we think about it is, what are we to do with grace? This is a gift that's God given to you. God's given it to me. What am I supposed to do with it? And as we get into the scriptures, I think we can find here two things that the scripture tells us. This is what we should not do with grace. And then it gives us one indication of what it is that we should do with the grace that God has given to us. Someone once said this, well, the definition of grace is this: the help or favor granted to one that is undeserving. We would understand this as well. It's when we think of grace, it's God giving to us what we don't deserve. And we would understand that as well. Well, here, let's go to Romans in chapter 5. Let's read a passage of scripture. We're going to start reading in verse 19. We'll kind of flow into chapter 6 just for a couple verses there. But I want to start reading in chapter 5 and in verse 19. The scripture says this, "For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, then many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it?" Here, this passage of scripture here, it kind of gives us this indication as we're thinking of grace itself. He says there in verse chapter 5 and verse 19, talking about one man's disobedience, the world was plunged into sin, talking about Adam. So by the obedience of one, many are made righteous. Of course, that's talking about Jesus Christ here. So we find that this grace is given to us. And then the Bible says that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And what a wonderful thing that is, that you and I, when we accept this gift of grace and we accept Christ as our Savior and we're on our way to heaven, the scripture says that we have power over sin in our life. And it's a wonderful thing in our life to know that. But the scripture says here, because there's sin in the world, then grace is there and it abounds so much more. But then Paul here, as he's speaking to the Roman church, we see in verse 1 of chapter 6, he says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?" Okay, so if there's sin and then there's grace there to overpower the sin, or it's more than the sin, so then Paul's saying, okay, what? Do we keep on sinning so there's more grace? And then he says, that's crazy. As we look here, that was the English version of what the passage says here. But he says this, he says, "By no means. Or God forbid." That's crazy. That's ludicrous. We wouldn't even think that way. But many a times in your life and my life, we live just that way. So what is it that we are supposed to do, or what do I do with grace that God has given to me? Number one, I don't abuse it. I don't abuse it. Here the passage of scripture here says there's going to be sin And we know that. We live in a sin-cursed world, and you and I, this is something that we deal with on a daily basis. It's a struggle. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you can live a life and you can be perfect and you'll never have any problem with sin or anything like that. Just moments ago, Gloria is living her first sinless moment of time. And that's something we all have to look forward to. But until that time, it's a struggle and it's a battle. But that doesn't mean because I've accepted grace, because I've accepted salvation, that I can say, okay, well, I'm on my way to heaven, so I can continue to live in sin, however it is that I want to. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, by no means. This is crazy. How can we who died to sin still live in it? There's a verse in the scriptures, 1 John 1:9. It's something that maybe is very familiar to each and every one of us. It's something that was written to Christians, to believers, and because it's one of those things that as we struggle through our Christian life, that we sin and that we have the opportunity to confess that sin. That's what it says there. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what a blessed verse there that the Lord has given to us. But just because that verse is there, that I know that Jesus will forgive me of my sin, that doesn't mean that I can just continue to live in sin. 1 John 1:9 is not what I would say your get out of jail free card. As we live our Christian life, as we accepted this gift of grace that we have, that God has given to us, then that doesn't mean that I can just continue to live in sin because grace is there. It is a struggle. It is hard sometimes in the Christian life, and you always have the world, the flesh, and the devil, and all these things attacking you. But God has told us, and He's given us grace, and grace can overcome the sin of this world, but we need to make sure that we do not abuse it. Take your Bible and go to Galatians in chapter 5. Over to Galatians in chapter 5. We see the second thing that I see in the scriptures that the Lord tells us that we should do, that we shouldn't do with grace. Galatians in chapter 5, I'd like to start reading in verse 1. He says this, as Paul speaking to the Galatian church, he says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." I'd like to stop here just for a second, and Paul kind of brings this out in our life. We're talking about here about grace and accepting the Lord, and because we have grace in our life, because of what Jesus did for us in our life, that we're not supposed to abuse it. I just can't say, oh, I'm on my way to heaven, so I'm going to continue on sinning and everything's good, and that's not the way it works. And we find here that he tells us here that there is freedom in Christ, and many of the times we have it backwards. Many times people don't want to live for the Lord because they say, well, I don't want to have to abide by a bunch of rules, and I don't want to have to do all of these different things that I have to. I don't want to have to go to church. I don't want to have to read my Bible. I don't want to have to do the things. And those aren't things that we have to do. These are privileges that we have. It's a privilege, and I'm so thankful that God has given us His Word that I can read and I can understand and I can grow and I can learn more and more about the Lord. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for a church that I can come to where I can be encouraged, whether that's through preaching or just through speaking and talking with other people. And we have the opportunity to be encouragement to one another. And all of these things, that doesn't sound like bondage to me. That doesn't sound like slavery to me. But the Scripture says here that we have freedom in Christ, but as he was talking to the Galatians, they must have had an issue with not living for the Lord because it says, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. It kind of goes along what we read there, that where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Should we continue to live in sin? And he says, no, that's crazy. And it's the same thing here where he says, you're free in Christ. There's freedom in Christ. Why would you go back and be yoked again into slavery? Or why would you allow yourself to go back to a life of sin? Don't do that in your life. So we find here, what is it that we find as we continue reading in verse 2? The Scripture says this, "Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace, for through the Spirit by faith we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. So we see here, if we go back to verse 4, he says, you are severed from Christ. You would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. So what's the first thing we're not supposed to do with grace? We're not supposed to abuse it. The second thing that we find here in the passage of Scripture is that we're not supposed to fall away from it. Now, I'm not talking about losing your salvation here. The Scriptures are clear on that. If you are saved, you cannot lose your salvation. But what we're talking about here is, as a Christian, there are times in our life where maybe you've remembered this term, maybe you haven't heard a term for a while, but maybe backsliding. You ever heard that term before? And that's kind of what we're talking about here. A Christian that is accepted that grace from the Lord, accepted that gift of grace, and you're on your way to heaven, you accepted Christ, and you were living for the Lord, and now you find yourself falling away from grace. You're falling out of this fellowship with the Lord. And that's really what it is that we are talking about here, this thought of not departing from it. The word fallen here means to be driven off one's course. You're on a path. You're following the Lord. You're following God's will. Then for whatever it is, a circumstance comes in. You allow the devil to come into your life and maybe get a toehold in your life or whatever it is. Maybe it's a situation that came up in your family or maybe in your finances or a work situation, and it's pulled you away from following the Lord. And that's what we're talking about here, fallen. You were driven off your course. You had come to the point where the word continues and says, you've become inefficient or rendered inactive. That's something that scares me the most in my life as a Christian, is that I would get to the place in my life where maybe I've walked away from the Lord, and I get to the place to whereby I have been rendered inactive. I always think of it this way, that the Lord says, he can't use me anymore. He takes me and puts me on a shelf. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I know the moment I die, to be absent with the body, to be present with the Lord. I know that, but I live out my life stuck on a shelf because I chose not to live for the Lord. That's what this word here is talking about, this fallen out of grace, falling from this fellowship that we have with the Lord. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 27. He says, I keep my body under subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself have become a castaway. Paul here had this concern as well. He had this fear in his life. He says, I do things in my life. He says, uses the term here, that he keeps his body under subjection. There's another time where he talks about, I buffet my body daily. And he's not talking about, he doesn't beat himself up physically or anything like that. But what he's doing is this, is he's saying, I know that my flesh wants to do something, but I'm going to say no to that flesh. I'm not going to do that. It's kind of the same way when maybe you're at work and someone brings a box of donuts to work. And you go through the office there. This happened when I was in the trucking company. It was terrible. It was so funny because we could take food there. It was like a human garbage disposal there. If we had leftover food, my wife would say, what do you want to do with this food? I'll take it to work. So I'm going to eat it. And it's pretty much like that. But what happens when you go to work there and someone has brought in donuts and you walk in and you're, maybe you had just said, maybe it's January the 1st. You just had your New Year's resolution. I'm not gonna eat any sweets. I'm not gonna do any of that. You walk in, there's a box of donuts there, and the fight is on, is it not? The battle is there, the struggle is real. And what happens is you go up and you say, no, yeah, maybe, and then you walk away. Now that's kind of a silly illustration. Usually I failed at that. I usually said, I'll start on January the 2nd. But the fact here is that there is that struggle. And that's what Paul was talking about. He says, you know, my flesh wants to do something. I want to live a certain way. My flesh wants me to work or live in opposition to God. And that might be easy. That might feel good. That might be whatever it is. But I am not going to do that. I am going to live for the Lord. And Paul says, I want to do that in my life. Now, Paul wasn't a perfect man. But he did understand this principle that he could have victory over temptation in his life. And here he says, I buffet my body daily. I don't allow my flesh to have its way in my life because I want to live for the Lord. And we find here that the scripture tells us don't depart from grace. In the passage in the Bible, there's a man that I refer to him a lot because it's something in my life I don't necessarily want to emulate in my life, but there's a man that's called Demas that we read about in the scriptures. He's only mentioned three times that we see in the Bible. The first time that we read about Demas is in Philemon in verse 24. And he's there with Paul, and the scripture says about him specifically, it says that he was a fellow laborer. In many of Paul's epistles and letters that he wrote, he would talk about who is with him and who was traveling with him. And Demas at this time was there with Paul, and he calls and he says, he's a fellow laborer. This man is in the trenches with me. This guy is serving with me. This guy is one that maybe he was even at one time maybe imprisoned with Paul, or maybe he was there when Paul was getting beaten with the rods, as you read about Paul's testimony and everything that he went through. And these men followed him, and we read about this man Demas. And there's not much said about him other than the fact that we find him serving. As we find here, he's a fellow laborer with Paul. The next time we read about Demas is in Colossians in chapter 4. And in Colossians chapter 4, here Paul, again, he is kind of just towards the end there. He's given the greeting. He's kind of signing off, and these are the guys that were with me. And all we read about Demas is just his name. You know, Demas is here with me. And so you don't really hear anything about this co-laborer or some of the things that Demas has done, and it's kind of just it's like a level here. It's like a progression, and he was serving the Lord. Now we find that he's just mentioned in there, and the last time we read about Demas is in 2 Timothy in chapter 4. 2 Timothy, we know, was Paul's last epistle that he was writing. Paul was in jail at the time that he was writing this, and really, Paul was kind of all by himself, and he was writing to Timothy and saying, send me the parchments, and he uses this phrase. He says, Demas hath forsaken me, loving this present world. Here we have a man, and maybe you can think even in your own life, or maybe you have experienced this in your own life. Here was a man that was serving the Lord. Here was a man that was on fire for God. Here was a man that was serving with Paul in the trenches. He was in the battle with Paul, and he was an encouragement to Paul. And the next thing you find, okay, well, Demas is here, but things don't seem to be as good as they were and as good as they could be. And I don't really know what was going on there in Colossians, why it was just mentioned his name, but we find in 2 Timothy then that Demas had left, that he forsook him, loving this present world. And we find here an illustration of a man in scriptures that served God. He was one that was on fire for the Lord, and he allowed Satan to come into his life, whatever the situations were. Paul says here specifically that he fell away because he was loved this present world. There are so many things in the world today that wants to draw you away from Christ. So many things, and the devil has so many things that he could pick and choose. He's got quite an arsenal that he can use in your life and my life. Understand, rather, if I can say it this way, that the devil knows your weakness. He knows exactly what he can use to get to you. And what happens is you know, Satan wouldn't come right up to you and say, I'll tell you what, I want you to, let's walk away from the Lord. Why don't you follow me, and I'm gonna destroy your life, and I'm gonna destroy your marriage, and I'm gonna destroy your family, and I'm gonna destroy your kids, and I'm gonna take your job away from you, and I'm gonna do all of these things. For if he did that, would any of you follow him? You're like, that's crazy. I'm not going anywhere near that. But he comes in subtly, and he comes in, he gets this toehold, as the scripture talks about, between you and the Lord. And what happens is slowly, as we walk away from the Lord, we fall from it, we get out of the fellowship of the Lord, then we find ourselves rendered inactive. So what are we to do with grace? First of all, the scripture says, don't abuse it. Secondly, the scripture shows us here that we should not fall away from it. But thirdly, take your Bible and go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, and in chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'd like to read just a couple verses here, starting in verse 17 of 2 Peter chapter 3. The scripture says this, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. It kind of reminds me of what was said in Galatians in chapter 5 again, talking about this freedom in Christ, this stability. And as Peter is speaking here in verse 17, he says, knowing this beforehand, I want you to understand, I want you to know this, that there are going to be people that are going to try to sway you away from following Christ. There's going to be people that are going to try to pull you away from your walk with the Lord. And he tells them here in verse 17, towards the end there, he says, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. But in verse 18, he says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what is it? The two things we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to abuse it. We're not supposed to depart from it. But then Christ tells us here, God tells us in his word, that we are supposed to grow in it. We're supposed to grow in grace. It's not one of those things when you accept Christ and then you're just done. You accept Christ as your Savior, you're on your way to heaven, but you never open your Bible, you never pray, you never serve the Lord, you never do anything like that. And that's not what the Scripture is saying here. The Scripture is saying that you grow in grace. We would understand as we see some of the passages in Scripture, especially when we come to, go to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's just go there real quick. Hebrews in chapter 4. I'd like to read this passage to you. Hebrews, and then chapter 4. Excuse me, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews and chapter 5. I'd like to start reading in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk. Not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. What is it that Paul is writing here to the church and to the Hebrews here? What is it that he is writing? He's saying this. He says, if you're just newly saved, then you need the milk of the word. Okay, let's put an illustration like this. Let's say you have a newborn or an infant, and it's time to feed it. You wouldn't necessarily cut up a steak and feed it to the baby, would you? That's kind of crazy, isn't it? The baby would choke. Its digestive system isn't set up for that and like that, but rather you would give it baby food. You would give it formula. You would give it milk. You would give it the things that is necessary for that. So we understand in the Scriptures, as a new believer, there are passages in the Scriptures that are really hard to understand. Jesus was speaking with the apostles one time, and specifically about communion, and he was giving them an illustration about communion. And when he got done, his apostles looked at him and said, Lord, these are hard sayings. Now here's men that have spent hour after hour and day after day for 3 years probably listening to the Lord, and here we find that the Lord's speaking to them, and they're like, man, I don't understand this. This is hard language. So we understand that there is difficult passages in the Scripture, but as a newborn babe, as you're growing, you would understand that it would be hard to understand some of the difficult things. That's why in Hebrews and chapter 5, at the end there, in verse 14 at the end, it says that who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. So how is it that I grow in grace? How is it that I move from the milk of the word to, as the Scripture uses here, the solid food? It is through practice. It's through reading God's word. It's through praying. It's through building that relationship with the Lord, building that fellowship with the Lord. And we would understand that as well as we look at the Scriptures. I mean, we would understand that there are steps to take as we are growing. But as a mature Christian, you and I should not be just satisfied with the milk of the word, with the baby food. You know, when I was a youth pastor, we had activities with the kids, and one of the activities that I as a youth pastor always liked We called it the mystery bag, I think, if I remember correctly. And what we would do, we'd have the youth group broke up into two or three teams. And on the table, we would have brown paper grocery bags. And inside of those bags, there would be a mixture of all different types of food. And you would try to pick some yucky stuff and, you know, other things. And the whole goal was for when you said go, the first person in line would run up to the table. They'd reach their hand in the bag and they would pull it out. Whatever it is they pulled out, they had to eat. And they had to eat all of it. And they couldn't leave until they ate it all. And then once that was done, we had a garbage can off the side, and then maybe they went and emptied their stomach, whatever it was that they ate. But then the next person ran up, and it was the first team to get all of their people through. Well, invariably, we would always have some crazy stuff. We'd have a whole onion in there, and we'd have some nice stuff, an apple, or we would have maybe a pepper or a lemon or anything like that. But we always tried to make sure we threw in a little jar of baby food, and it was always funny watching these people, these teens. Whatever they would grab, they'd pull out. And even when it came to like the onion or something like that, usually a guy would grab that and be like, oh yeah, I'm going to eat this onion. And so he's crying like a baby as he's eating this onion. But what would happen would be invariably when the person would reach in and they would pull out the baby food, everybody was like, ugh, nobody wanted that. Nobody wanted the baby food. Why? Because they just don't eat that anymore. That's nasty. And here as a Christian, we would understand if you've been saved 5, 10, 15, 20, 40, 50 years, however long you've been saved, you should be at the point in your life where you are growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you were growing in your reading and understanding of God's word. We would understand that we should not be, as Christians, mature Christians, we should not still be drinking the milk of the word, but rather that strong meat and growing in grace. So what does the scripture tell us here? What are we to do with grace? Number one, don't abuse it. Number two, don't depart from it. Number three, grow in it. So I've got one question for you then. What are you doing with the grace that was bestowed to you? What are you doing with it? Are you abusing it? Are you falling away from it? Are you growing in it? Let's pray. I'd like to just read a couple verses just by way of benediction here. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, Paul is speaking here. And in verse 9, he says this. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed." Paul here says this. He says, "The grace that was bestowed upon me was not bestowed in vain." May the Lord help you as you take this grace that God's given to you, and it's not bestowed upon you in vain.